Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, it's no mistake that we're in Daniel then, the fiery trial. So we thank you, Lord. We know Jesus is with us wherever we are and whatever fiery trial we're going through. We know the Lord is with us. Now, I also want to say on that very same thing, we're going to talk about death dreams today, I think. We're just going to wait on Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit may have a different plan. Okay. Then the slideshow, you know, we have a slideshow ready, but we're going to go with what Holy Spirit does. So the other thing I want to, because that sets you free from the fear of death. We have nothing to fear. I was like, COVID, you get sick, you get well, or you get sick and you die. What's the losing in that? I see Jesus face to face. Oh my goodness, I'll take that. I would take that in a heartbeat. I would take that way better than a lot of things, right? I would take that. I have been places, and I would rather go fast. I said I'd take a bullet over that. Thank you, Jesus. Because we immediately, listen, if you're going to commit suicide, you're going to hit a reality that's way more real than the pain you're experiencing here, right? So I'm not going to commit suicide, and we don't want anyone to. But if we come across somebody who's going to, we have to, hey, listen, you're going to hit a reality that's way more real than this is. And we pray they go, we want them to go to Jesus, right? But they may not be ready. So wait. And Jesus will help you through the fiery trial you're going through now, right? But I don't believe that if you commit suicide, you go to hell. Okay? Everybody got that. Didn't want to. That's a whole nother theological discussion. Okay. So let's go back to Daniel. So the other thing I wanted to say about death is my friend Carl Hahn, who is probably in heaven. I have not heard from him in years, or not years, months. And he began to see angels, much like Roland Buck. Roland Buck has, I have his book out there. But Carl Hahn was a pastor for a bunch of years. He was in his late 80s last time I heard from him. And he would see angels every morning. He'd get out of bed, or even early in the morning, the angels would wake him up at a certain time. And then they would have a Holy Spirit Bible study. Well, one day, he said, "What is it like to die?" And the Holy Spirit said, "It's like breathing out in this world and breathing in the next." COVID? Eh, so what? Right? I think that's why they wanted to shut the church down, because we know better. We know to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord, right? Amen. Breathe out in this world, breathe in. In the next glory. So think about, doesn't that the Holocaust story, that just put such peace in my heart. It just brought such peace because the man of fire was walking in there with them. Every time. I love that. We love the Jew. We love Israel. We love the land. I love them. Okay, let's look at let's keep going in Daniel. Let's look at, because one of the greatest men on the earth at the time was Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a brilliant dreamer. We might think only Christians are going to have brilliant dreams, but no. So this is why it's such a great evangelism tool. Somebody in the grocery store line will say, "Hey, I had a dream." And you can say, "Let's talk about it." You don't even have to say anything about Jesus yet, but, oh, here's what I'll say. Oh, sometimes I get answers for dreams, right? And then sometimes you can say, depending on who it is, you can say, "Well, sometimes Jesus talks to me about dreams." Because he does. Okay. So, let's go over to chapter 4 and verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest. Well, he gives a whole bunch of glory to God. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion from generation to generation. For I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Don't you love his language? I saw a dream in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in the wise men, all the wise men of Babylon, before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream. They did not make known to me the interpretation. Right? They did not make known to me. Who is that? The psychics, basic. Right? So a psychic can tell you anything. But Nebuchadnezzar knew it wasn't. Nope, that's not it. Right? Don't you love it? At last, Daniel came before me, according to the name of my God, Belteshazzar, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Daniel would have never used Belteshazzar. And I told him the dream, saying, Daniel, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. So these were the visions. Now he goes through and he tells the vision, and it's brilliant. But for time's sake, we're going to go over to verse 19, because that's where Daniel is going to explain the dream. Then Daniel was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So after he heard the dream, he was astonished, and he's thinking about it, and it's troubling him. But listen to what he says. My Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. So many times when we get death dreams, we get terrifying dreams. That's exactly the truth. May these things terrify your enemies. And we're not talking about earthly enemies. We're talking about heavenly enemies, the second heaven enemies, the demons, the devil. Okay. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was the food for all, under which the beasts of the fields dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of heaven had their home. That's why when we have a bird dream, we know it's from heaven, right? It's the heaven above us. It's in the atmosphere above us, and so we can say the heaven. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown. Listen to the metaphors in this. The tree grows strong. We grow strong as a tree. We are a tree planted by rivers of water. Many times you'll see a tree, and you'll see that tree has grown strong, or you'll be in a forest with many trees. Sometimes you'll just have very tall trees standing around you, and that's alluding back to this. Daniel knew what God was saying. Your dominion to the end of the earth. Inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and the roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and shall make you eat grass like oxen, and they shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and the seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, in the kingdom of men, and it gives to whomever he chooses. So there's so much teaching in that. There's like massive amounts. Inasmuch they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree. This is verse 28. Your kingdom shall be assured to you, and after you come to know that heaven rules, like King Nebuchadnezzar, there's heaven rules. You have to know these rules of heaven and rule, because O king, you've been put in that place that you're in because of God, the King of heaven and earth. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Isn't that something? Okay, let's go on. Nebuchadnezzar learns from the dream, and he does go back and he does listen. What?
He learns.
He learns. Thank God. Now, he did go out, and he did have to live and eat grass and all of that. You know, sometimes humility is hard. You go out and you have to eat some grass, right? Oh, boy. But when you come back, when he came back, he said, this is what he said. I love this. At the end of my time of humiliation, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand. Or say to him, what have you done? So, that's just such a great scripture. So we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Because it's the best on teaching us dreams. We just give you glory. Let's just begin. I was going to say that when that first dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the golden image, you know, the image that he had proceeded to go ahead and build a idol from, somebody, and I can't remember who it was, it might have been John Paul Jackson, but don't blame it on him if it wasn't, but they were talking about dreams, and they said, what if Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and Daniel, all in their wonderful part of their little palace, and they were all great friends, and what if when Nebuchadnezzar's henchmen came to the door and said, we're going to kill y'all, and Daniel was like, hold on, why are you going to kill us? Because, I mean, they were going to kill everybody. And Daniel says, just give us a night, we'll dream. And what if all of them dreamed a part of the dream? Yeah. And Daniel was the one who delivered the message. Yeah. Very well could have been. Yeah. That's why a double dream or a dream that, you had this happen in the jail, where one woman dreams the dream, and the woman who comes in says, I dreamed last night, and this woman has the same dream. So, and this woman got saved over the whole thing, because there was a confirmation. It's to have that dream, you know, it's a witness here on earth, but we also have witness in heaven. So, that's why it's so important that we know that if somebody that we love, our dream may actually be their dream, and if they begin to talk to us about this dream, we may get understanding because we actually had that dream, or the Lord is going to just give us the download. Either way, we believe that the Lord is going to help us, right? If we ask for a piece of bread, he's going to give us some butter too, right? I was thinking about this. This is a serious matter, okay? You know... I was thinking maybe the reason you were having issues with bread, I didn't have trouble, is because the ratio of butter isn't right. I'm thinking it needs to be equal. Equal butter. Think about it. Bread of heaven, Holy Spirit, same oil of heaven, bread of heaven. More. Equal ratio. Amen. Right? Don't live on bread alone. Come on. Woo. Butter is the vehicle. No, bread is the vehicle. Actually, butter probably is the vehicle to get bread in my mouth, right? Because I love bread. I love butter. Oh my goodness. Here we go. And then I found that salt is really good on all of it. And we're the salt of the earth, right? I'm thinking, man, we're just getting back to it. This is good. Salt, bread, and butter. Oh, it's good. And then, of course, you got to have coffee and cream. And it's equal portions again. Coffee, cream, and a bit of sugar. That's good. All right. Glory to God. Okay, so we got to keep it light because it's death dreams. What about nightmares? Okay, go ahead next. Okay, I think we did this. Then you, God, frighten me. Now, this can go with death dreams, too. Then you, God, frighten me with dreams and terrify me through visions. We remember. I'm just going to remind you, we go to God about all of these. Okay, next. God will repeat a dream when you do not... Now, this is my own interpretation, okay? Because this is me. God will repeat a dream because you didn't listen the first time. God will repeat a dream. I get repetitive dreams, okay? Because I didn't listen the first time. I was too tired, I was too busy, I didn't write it down. I didn't understand it, so I thought, well, I'll let it go. To warn us and to impress us to change our plans, keep us from making a bad decision, keep us from an early death. All right. Okay, next. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So as we look at all of these dreams, and I love that, how, wasn't it Daniel that said, this troubled me? But he didn't go to the king with fear. And he said, let your heart not be troubled. You know, basically he said that. He said, don't be concerned. Don't be frightened by this. But listen, and may these things happen to your enemies, not to you. Okay. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. And we have this excellent spirit. Now go to the next one. See if that next one is... Is that the end? Okay, go to the next one. What about death dreams? There it is. Okay, that's what I was looking for. Okay, next. Okay, so when we see somebody that has died in a dream, first thing we're going to do is I declare you, Janet, will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Right? Right? We will. We see death dreams. Our brother Tom shared a dream, and he dreamed he got into a coffin, and Chuck Pierce shut the lid. Wow. Chuck Pierce shut the lid. He did. He did that too. But 2 weeks later, he had another dream, and Chuck Pierce opened the lid. So is that classic? So whenever you have a dream, I don't think he'll care if we share that, but if you have a dream with death in it, it may not be that you are physically going to die or somebody else is going to die. And you definitely don't go, I saw you die. Last night I dreamed you died. I had somebody come up to me not too long ago that said, I did exactly that. I went to that person and I said, I saw that you died in my dream. So don't do that. I probably made stupid mistakes, so it's okay. Thank God. God is God and He helps us. Okay, next slide. Because your words are so powerful that your words will kill or give life. Just like that story I told about the knife cutting, it was words, right? We had a dream, and it's in the dream book. This lady said her dream was that she saw her husband in a boxing ring. And he's in the boxing room getting pummeled. Hit, 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 hit. And finally he gets hit so hard he hits the mat. Boom, and she knows he's dead. And she called and said, I saw my husband die. Of course, they had already talked about it. And I said, do you pray for your husband? You know, and I didn't really ask a lot of questions. I basically just said, the fist is words. Your husband's getting pummeled with words. Now, those words can come from anywhere. It can be a left hook, even out of nowhere, you know. Boom. So those words will kill. And I said, at home, you need to be the one who is saying, building him up, right? And it's true in the church. We have to be the ones that are saying good words and building each other up. Just like that cut, when he went back over and he began to say, repent, and then just began to say, honey, that was not how I felt, and I should not have said that. I was wrong. It just began to heal. So we just have to remember that our words truly do carry life or death. Okay, next. And then I think we're going to take okay, this is really important. If you see somebody die, I think this is one of the most important times. We do it all the time, but look up their name. Because their name could give you a clue of what that means. It can be you're dying to self. It can be an issue is ending. It can be that a relationship is ending. You know, there's some relationships that aren't meant to go on forever. Or, you know, that relationship was good for a time, but then all of a sudden something happened, it got toxic, and you just need to separate yourself from it. And the Lord's going to say, hey, let's put this one in the box for a little while, right? Okay? We want to separate good, but... Behindthename.com is our favorite. Behindthename.com. And I have some name books in there. The Dream Book has some names. Has a very good list of names in the back of it. Or the Divinity Code, not the Dream. I called the Divinity Code the Dream Book forever, and then now I have to change it. So the Divinity Code has a great name. Both of them actually do, right? Prophetic does too. So, yeah. I used the Prophetic Symbolism book when I was writing the Dream Book. And I was shocked at how many metaphors there were in the Prophetic Symbolism book that weren't in the Divinity Code. So it's actually worth having both. Okay. And once you get to where you're really using that book, that's when it's going to really benefit you. I just have to say, it's one of the best tools in our belt ever because of the addiction, the tying everything to the Word of God. It's so powerful. So a relationship could end, or an actual death. Has anybody here dreamed about like a mother or a father or somebody who you dreamed they died and then they died? They went ahead and died? Yeah. Right. Right. And that actually does prepare you. It's merciful. I have had that. I had a lady come in and talk to me about her mother's death. And she said, my mother, they were living in the same house for a time. And the mother, she said, I would get up in the morning and I would go in. And my mother, she was in her 90s. And she would be sitting up talking to children that weren't there. And she was teaching them. And she said... And then she'd come in and she'd, you know, the next day or another day, and the mom would say, I just saw your grandmother. Your father was just here. So she began to participate with heaven before she went. I mean, what a peaceful comfort that is. Oh my goodness. And so then when she went, she just breathed in the next place, right? So the Lord is so merciful. So don't just, here's one habit I want us all to break, is when we have a dream that we wake up emotionally charged, somebody's dead, somebody was shot. So we want to get to where we can settle our emotions quickly, and then have sound mind, right? Write that down. And then ask the Lord and settle the issue with the Lord, right? Instead of, oh, goodness. We had a dream earlier this week, too, that was like that, where the bless his heart, he said, every time I go into panic attack, I have horrific, it's like an attack from every dream, I'm like this. And he said, I have to unplug from my dreams, I put on headphones, I don't sleep. I mean, it's horrific. He was having really bad dreams, really bad dreams. But we learn to deal with them the opposite way. We're going to deal with them with a sound mind, with love. But Jesus casts out all fear. Okay? Okay. Oh, no, let's go backwards. No, I was smiling at you because I was thinking about your dreams. So, yeah. So... Okay, I can just allude to what? You're an open book, you're so precious. So I'm going to say this because I think that she's probably not the only one in the room, okay, that has very horrific detailed dreams about, and maybe you don't even know it's current events, but it's current events. Very detailed, horrific dreams. Now, I'll have some dreams that are pretty detailed, but not my sister dreams even more. We should pray for her, because when you think about it, pray, because it's important that she knows how to speak So when we pray, it's important. I think that we've not realized the importance of our prayers. When I was in South Africa, we were going to have dinner, and this lady named Sheila began to speak, and she began to talk about this conference that she was at, and I think it was Sundar Selvig, you know who he is, the Indian man. Okay, so she said he was at the conference, and he went in. We were praying, and we were worshiping the Lord, and he went into a trance. For the whole meeting, he was in a trance. And a trance is just when you're standing there, your physical body is there, but your spirit goes into a different place. And so you couldn't have woken him up. He was like asleep standing up. So anyway, when he came back, he woke up. Maria Woodworth Eder used to stand for 11, 12 hours at a time in these. So, I mean, this has gone on for all ages. Anyway, when he came back, he said, when I was gone, he said, I entered into this room, and the two great men of South Africa are John G. Lake, who is known for healing, and Andrew Murray, who is known for prayer. And they were sitting in a room together, and they were praying for South Africa. And Sundar said, when I came in, they said, oh, we're glad you're here. We were waiting for somebody to agree with what we're declaring from heaven so that we could pray it and it would attach to earth. So it would have effect on earth. So right now we declare, we agree with what's going on in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we say those things, we're not just saying something. We are declaring what the Lord would say from heaven. Isn't his idea better than my prayer? Isn't his prayer better than my prayer? Isn't his declaration of the word of God better than my declaration? I want to declare. That's why the word is so important when we're praying. Many times when we do that hour of prayer, hour of reading the word, we're just praying the word because that's the most important declaration we can make from earth to agree with heaven so that what God wants to do, he can then do on earth. Your prayers are important. Is he going to sit up there and do it all by himself? He could, right? But that's why he put us here. So we would do it. It's our job. We have authority to do this. All right. Boy, that was a shocking jump. But when you have a dream that is extremely detailed and horrific, and there probably is no interpretation, right? My sister was telling me a dream last night. There was no interpretation for that. She was having a heavenly experience. When you're having a heavenly experience, you can have a hellish experience where the Lord shows you his plans almost in story form. I can't go through that and interpret it. We can know this is the truth. The Lord is saying something very clear to you. There's probably not any interpretation. Let's declare the truth over this issue. And we are going to declare what Jesus says. And you may be the only one praying about that issue specifically. I believe the Lord has prayer warriors everywhere in the earth. But you may be the only one in your area. And it may be important that you're praying that over your specific area as well. So it can go blanket across all of America, across the world. But also if he has you planted where you are, you're extremely important in that area. So think about it and declare the word of God over that. All right. Okay, does anybody have a short, remember we talked about yesterday, very short death dream where you saw somebody die or you saw yourself die? Did you have one? Oh, come on. here, I'll do this one back here. Hello. Test. Chill. Test, test. Well, yeah, then you can keep that one for now. Hello. Is that on? Oh, double. I can't. You talk. Oh, just a second. Oh, she'll get it. Okay. Aren't you so grateful for Rachel and Megan? Thank you, God. I give them a workout in this class, so I'm really thankful. No, I just let her sit.
Okay. So in my dream, In fact, Cherise said she heard me talking in the middle of the night. So, but
was this last night?
Last night. Yeah.
Okay, come on. You better come up here. Okay. The Lord is speaking. He speaks to us individually, but he also speaks to us corporately, right? So we know that when it is a dream, when you're coming up here and you know you're going to be in a dream class, maybe you didn't know that, but now you do. The Holy Spirit's already speaking. Okay, go ahead, sis.
So in my dream, I was a child, but I wasn't a girl, I was a boy. And there was this man that just was continually coming after me, punching me, trying to kill me, but not succeeding. But I was so beat up by the end of the dream that I could hardly walk or even try to get away from him. It was just this constant coming after me. But it seemed like towards the end of the dream, he looked, kind of had the face of my dad, kind of looked like my dad.
Okay.
And I thought, is this my dad? Why would he be trying to kill me?
Right.
But that's basically the gist of the dream.
So what was your relationship with your real dad? Was it good?
It was good, but he was quite violent with most of my siblings.
Okay.
And I was kind of the only one that didn't experience that part.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to ask you, hold this, okay. But we're going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
So, and we're going to repeat the dream. So, does anybody want to repeat the dream? Who would like to practice? Annie, come here.
Welcome. Okay. So, tell me your name again.
Kathy.
What I heard you say, Kathy, was that you were in this dream. You were a young child. Mm-hmm. How young?
Three? I would say, maybe 6 or 7.
Okay. 6 or 7, but that you were a boy,
yes.
Not a girl.
Uh-huh.
And you kept getting these punches thrown at you.
Mm-hmm.
Were they always hitting your face or
yes.
Other parts? Always
my
hitting
face.
Your face. And you were trying to run away and get away, but mm-hmm. the more assault, the harder it was to run away and get away. To the point where you knew somebody was trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end of the dream, that face that you saw, that your assailant mm-hmm. appeared to look sort of kind of like your dad.
Yeah, but he was kind of beat up too, which I didn't understand because I didn't think I was even able to defend myself.
So he was beat up too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I heard you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess the other question I would have is, where you said your siblings, he was a little bit violent with your siblings
mm-hmm.
In real life.
Yeah.
And how many, where do you fall in the birth order, and how many boys and girls are there?
The oldest is a boy, and then it's my sister Loretta, then me, and then I have a younger sister Leah.
So 3 girls and 1 boy.
1 boy mm-hmm. and then 3 daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I have 7.
7?
Gosh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So you have 7 children?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any boys?
I have 4 boys and 3 girls.
What's the order?
I had a daughter first, and then I had 3 sons, then 2 daughters and a son.
Wow. Yeah, that's 7.
She can count.
Yeah.
Right.
When you were a young child, do you ever remember any words spoken over you by your dad saying that he wished you were a boy or you were supposed to be a boy? Or, I mean, you and I are before the age of ultrasounds.
Yeah.
There were no gender reveal parties. Or did you ever have a conversation with your mom about what your name would have been if you had been a boy?
Well, one thing I always tell my husband, and I don't know where it came from, but I always tell him I was the best son my dad ever had. Because he would, when he had me, he didn't have me, my mom had me. But he took care of me because she he took care of me a lot. Let's say, wait, let me go back. My younger sister, when she was born, my mom told my dad, you take care of her, and I'll take care of the baby. So I spent a lot of time as a child with my dad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, he took care of me. Yeah. So I've learned boy things. Huh?
Did he have a nickname for it?
Did he have a nickname for you that maybe wasn't Kathy?
No.
Okay.
But I learned how to do, because I was his little shadow. So if he was fixing the house or he was doing anything, I was right there with him.
Ooh,
yeah.
I also heard you say you were his little shadow.
Yeah.
And he, in the dream, was pummeled as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very good. Good dream. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, stay there.
Okay. We're not done.
We're not done. We're just learning the process. So this is our learning the process. We ask questions because we don't want to jump to a conclusion and say, oh, it's this. Although when you've heard a lot of dreams, you do tend to do it a little bit, but you still want to ask the questions because there were some game changers in there, right?
Yeah. By the questions that
were asked. By the questions that were asked. The questions are really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
Loretta.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight?
I would ask the sister if she has insight as the sister and growing up in the family from hearing this dream.
When she gave me the dream this morning, I thought of our brother, who was he probably received the most physical abuse of any of us. So I just told her, we really need to pray for our brother, you know.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
He was probably the first child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the parents are learning on the first child.
Yeah.
And
anyway, and our dad was abusive, and it's true that he went through, his life probably was. His name is Albert.
He took the brunt.
Yeah. Oh, my brother's name is Albert Glenn, but he went by his middle name, Glenn, when he was young. And my dad's name is Albert.
Okay.
Our dad's name.
Okay.
Oh. Did you feel responsible for your siblings?
Sometimes, yeah. I kind of felt like since I kind of had an in with my dad, that they would even tell me when we were young, they'd send me to ask for ice cream or to ask if we could do something because they'd say, he'll say yes to you. And so even as I was older, I always felt that, you know, I needed to, you know, make a way for my siblings so things would go well for them.
The mediator. Uh-huh. That's right. All good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you woke up, did you feel guilt? Did you feel exhausted? How did you actually feel?
Yeah, that's a good question. Good question, Cindy.
I didn't feel like you'd think I'd woke up scared, but it was so strange. I didn't feel scared. I was just puzzled more than anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you were in the dream, while you were dreaming, were you afraid of your father?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I went into the dream. I was
I was wondering if the feelings you had in the dream were similar to when you watched your father be abusive to your brother. Like you were actually putting yourself in his place.
Yes, because I still remember the day that both my brother and sister left home because my dad severely beat them. And I was upstairs. That's a tough one. I was probably 10, and I was just crying. And I already knew the Lord because I knew him since I was 6. And I was just asking God to take me if instead of them. And I was just praying, God, whatever, if you take me, would that make my family stop fighting? I give you my life. I'll take it. You take it. And I was just crying and asking God to make him stop.
And she just want to wrap your arms around.
Yes. I just weep.
You know, a lot of times when I'm doing either prophetic or dreams, either one, doesn't matter, I'll see that person as a child. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, even if we're not talking about childhood, we're just talking about prophecy. But the Lord will show me that child, and, oh, my goodness, it's so precious. Then you're just like, oh, I want the very best. I want the very best. Mm-hmm.
I wish Holly was here. Yeah. This is really hard because I went through so much of that similar stuff, and I understand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, God is always healing.
Yeah.
He's always healing us, and he's always bringing redemption to those parts. And we're here in this place where I think, like, a lot of stuff gets uncovered here.
Yes.
And so I just, because I'm getting uncovered right now. See, it's, like, amazing how much it still can hurt after mm-hmm. all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But why would God give you that dream now?
I don't know.
That I feel like that's the question. A question to ask, because and when we have dreams, it's so important that we go to him and say, why are you showing me this now? You know, because even when one of the things we talked about the other night, and my days are all confused now because we've been here all week, and it's like we talked about inner vows that we've made that actually hold us in a place that, you know, we can't get healed because we've made this inner vow. I know I've done that. You know, I did a lot of that because, you know, you want to protect. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Lord, I'm just saying maybe the Lord is bringing that up because he wants that vow to not have hold any longer mm-hmm. in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's actually for healing, for deliverance. I found out I made a lot of inner vows as a child. And when I did, demons came in. And I had a lot of lies that I lived, and they were so familiar that it was like, you know, you think they're no, it's just you, your personality, but they actually came in. When the trauma came in, you know, when the trauma came, then that's when I believe that lie, because the enemy comes and says, oh, if you believe this, this will never happen again. You know, I can take the hit for them or whatever you do, because we experienced a lot of the same, very similar
Did
stuff.
You know Jesus as a child?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys always knew Jesus,
yeah.
Right?
My mom was a Christian.
Your mom was, yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. Now, I don't believe a Christian can be demon-possessed, but, those things can sure hang around when there's trauma.
And honestly, it's just lies.
Yeah,
they're just lies.
Yeah, it is. And when we agree with them, we give them power, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think the Lord exposed that last night for a purpose in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And for everybody. Thank you for sharing this, because this helps all of us go, okay, what vows have I made when something happened?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that the Lord would bring this subject up, because we don't think about this on a daily basis. He has to go back and pull it out and say, I want to deal with this now.
Here up on the mountain, in a safe place.
Meeting with the king.
In a place where we can be mm-hmm. healed and everybody can pray. Is your brother serving the Lord? Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yeah. So if most of the dreams we have are about us, And that's like a key right there, especially when we're coming to a retreat to, you know, meet with the king and what the king wants to bring and do with us, you know. Mm-hmm. So when you put the situation, because I always think it's interesting timing on dreams, like what's going on, you know, in your life, because you'll get a picture in a dream that could be like something that would be totally different than what's going on in your life, but yet the timing of it. It's really important, the timing of what's going on in your life, and then ask the Lord about the dream. Why is it now? You know, why? Because, so that is a huge key for, you know, maybe what the Lord wants to do, because those old lies
have to die,
hold us down.
That's
They keep us in bondage, but God sees it all, and he's so kind the way he does things. He brings them back, you know, like if we handle it. I remember when I first started healing process with Holly, it was, you know, we had prayers. I was so afraid that I couldn't handle it, that I could not handle
going
through a memory. So and then she told me, you know, you don't have to remember everything, you know. We're just going to deal with the lie. And so we dealt with the lie, and then, you know, it's, you know, repentance is changing our mind.
Right.
Agreeing with God, it's so beautiful. Repentance is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Because we're just like, oh, now I get it. I don't believe that. That's a lie. You know?
Right.
And it's actually deliverance.
Right.
It is deliverance.
Amen.
Once I come out of an agreement with a lie or that inner vow that I made as a child, I get delivered.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's
one line of truth can set you free. It's just like breathing out in this world and breathing in another. All of a sudden, that takes away all the fear of death. There's the other thing about the walking around in the fire. I just think that just sets you free from the fear of death, but also the fear of a lie, fear of trauma, fear of, because, you know, we're still in a place, we live on earth, we're still going to experience trauma, here's the deal, we don't have to be afraid of trauma. So on the dream, my thought was, let's go through it, and let's talk about the metaphors in that, because the metaphors are brilliant. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Jesus gave you a good dream. So, okay, you want to start? She was
young child
again, back at, were you at your home? Do you remember where you were?
It seemed like we were in a neighborhood somewhere, but it didn't look familiar.
Okay. That's a good, I hadn't even asked that question. All right. So you were a child. So she might be picking up on something else too.
Well, yeah, I first went there. Maybe she's picking up on something else happening, because we know Kathy's a pastor.
Right.
And she has a lot of stuff going on in the church that she prays for a lot of the people. So my first thought, because I was, you know, because there is so many layers to dreams too.
So, the Lord would want to deal with you.
Yeah. Well,
and so then you could deal with
others. That's where
it
came to me. Why would he give it to her right now?
Right now.
When we're doing, there's a lot of inner healing.
Right.
And exposure of the things that we have believed as children that have been coming up, especially in our afternoon and night sessions.
Right.
And the Lord, you know, and when we're battling in our life, sickness, whatever else, you know, anything, you know, I mean, life. when we're battling, God wants to show us keys to our victory, strategies, keys, insights.
Right.
This is what's holding you.
Right.
He wants to heal us. He wants to show us. He shows us the picture of our soul in dreams a lot. Mm-hmm. Like what's going on in your soul. Mm-hmm. What is like either, it could be holding you. It could be literally the lie that is keeping the sickness and giving that, you know, infirmity that's the biggest question I've been asking.
what am I still believing? Because I've been battling this arrhythmia, whatever.
Right.
And so I, what lie have I been believing? And I haven't gotten my answer yet. But it's like when she's talking, I'm getting so stirred up. I'm like, oh, well, there you go.
There's
you go.
A lie.
I'm still believing that. And, you know, it's funny because when it happens, it's like I'm in a state of panic and fear. And in the natural, I'm not in fear or like I'm feeling fine. But there's still old stuff that comes up, you know, and God wants to heal us. And it's funny, this arrhythmia started when we really started working on the retreat. We were on the phone. We were like, making our plans. And then all of a sudden, because I was fine.
Right? She was fine.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah. So okay. I actually can, the timing on the dreams, you're in a safe place, you're here where healing is happening. God wants to uncover old things that are in us because you were young then.
Right.
And it was
six,
happening when you were young.
Six or seven, right? Yeah. And I was just thinking about turning from more of a flesh into spiritual perfection, six or seven, you know, like in that transition time where you're just getting a little bit older. And six is the number of man, seven is the number of spiritual perfection. So the Lord was just moving you into the next thing. But the Lord is dealing with that area in your life because he is moving you into spiritual perfection. So he's taking you back to that number seven. So,
and I do believe it can happen in a dream where the healing actually happens.
And then that bridge over is healed.
Like, you know, that memory gets, it's like it gets cleansed. But it just brings it up and goes, wow, you know, dreams are an invitation to speak with the king.
Right.
And you go, okay, he gave you the dream.
Right.
Wasn't the devil.
Right.
It was the Lord giving you the dream because he's inviting you in for that conversation to say, you know, what's going on, right? Like, yeah, I want to talk to you about this.
Right. So we know that hitting can be words, hit, you know, right? We've talked about that's come up. And then what else? What was the other?
Yeah, it could be the physical and the verbal abuse.
Right. Verbal
they
abuse.
They kind of go together.
Yeah, they do because your words kill.
Yeah.
Right.
You have a question?
Yeah, so I think it's
significant.
It has, yes, thank you. Meaning that your dad was beat up also. And I don't know if you know of history of abuse in your family, a line. Okay, I think it's important to look at that and just, I'm sensing that there's an abuse issue and it has to do with the males. I realize that other siblings were abused also, but your brother getting it the hardest, and then you stepping in for your family as a boy and opening the door there by saying, I'll take this on myself. So I don't know what your current situation is, but the pounding that comes through words can come through lies, and I believe that assignment has been there coming against you even to this day that the Lord wants to break off.
Okay, so that would mean, too, that the Lord would want to break that off of any future thing that would come for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren.
Yeah. Yes.
So the Lord wants to deal with it in you so it's dealt with completely.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we want to see that happen, right? And now, remember, this is for all of us, right?
Right.
Okay.
And so to repent on behalf of yourself and your forefathers to break that cycle.
Yeah. Jamie in the back.